Proverbs 29. Message will not be long tonight because I do want to get into the vision part of 2015. But I would like to read Proverbs 29, starting with verse 15. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give thee delight, give delight unto thy soul." And then notice, if you will, verse 18. "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Father, I pray that tonight, for just a few short minutes, that, Lord, you'll allow us to see what you see. That, Father, we will accept your invitation to be a part of your plan. That, Lord, it is obvious that you're moving at Somerville Baptist Church. And so I'm asking, Lord, that as Blackaby contends in its experiencing, God, that you invite us to move where you are moving. And Lord, you are certainly moving here in this church, as was already testified to in the way that we began this service and those that accepted Christ as their Savior this morning, and the way that, Lord, you're so obviously blessing in so many different parts of this ministry. And yet, Lord, that can be so soon squelched. It can be so quickly doused by us not seeing what you see. And so, Father, please help us in this. Lord, may we be a people of vision, not our vision, but your vision. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. About 350 years ago, Lynn Anderson Wright's a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. We know them as pilgrims. The first year they established a town site. The next year they elected a town governor. The third year the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. This group of mavericks, if you will, this group of those who wanted to worship freely, came to a brand new continent, came to a whole new hemisphere, thousands of miles away on a ship with no promise of safe delivery. And now they've come to the place of establishing their town and building a road 5 miles into the wilderness of Northeast America. In the fourth year, however, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into a wilderness. The question was asked, who needed to go 5 miles into the wilderness anyway? Lynn Anderson continues. He says, "Here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there. But in just a few years, they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneering vision. With a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, no ocean of difficulty is too great. But without it, we rarely move beyond our current boundaries." Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about having a vision for the future for just a few moments before we go into those items. I want to credit Jeff Richards. Much of the outline tonight is from something I read of his, and I appreciate his insight. Most preachers, most of those in ministry, they surrender to the Lord's work with a vision to reach the lost. They have a worldwide vision. They're wanting to see people come to Christ. But I will tell you, over time, you get caught up in committee meetings. You get caught up in sometimes fires of division. You get caught up in many busy activities. And after a while, that fire that you had begins to die out. It begins, the embers, though they're still hot, they are not producing any visible flame. And that is not what God intends. It's not what He intends for Somerville Baptist Church. And I think I'll tell all of us here in a Sunday night crowd that if we fail to follow the Lord's vision in the years to come, you'll only give it a short time and it won't be near as long as you might think, that Somerville Baptist will become a shadow of what it once was. And so I want to encourage us tonight to not look at the future with fear. I want us to look at it with faith. I want us to look at it as God is going to do something that He's already done and He wants to continue to do in Somerville Baptist Church that you may not completely see. But if you and I could completely see it, then where is faith? And so tonight, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to have a vision to see the future. And let me explain to you for just a moment what a God-sized vision consists of. First, I want you to understand that vision is the ability to see. It's an awareness. In Webster's dictionary, when you see vision, it'll talk about the faculty of sight. It's an unusual foresight, a mental image produced by the imagination. It's an experience of the supernatural as with the eyes. We're talking about vision. It's kind of the vision. If you take your Bibles and turn back to Numbers chapter 14, and I've referenced this passage many times over the past few weeks. Numbers 14, it's the vision that Joshua and Caleb had when they stood before the nation of Israel and all the doubters were surrounding them. And yet Joshua and Caleb, the faithful two spies, in Numbers 14 and verse 6, it reads, it talks about the faithfulness, their ability to see what could not yet be seen by the millions of the Israelites. It says in verse 6, Numbers 14, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." I will tell you, for us, the vision for the future is to see what is not yet there. It's an awareness that God is working in ways that we cannot see, that we cannot even possibly be able to formulate in our minds. But the ability to see only what God sees, to dream, is really what this is. It's really the difference between being an optimist and a pessimist. Is God still working or is He not? Is God still wanting to do great things or is He not? I love the story of a schoolboy who brought home his report card, and it was kind of heavy with some bad grades. And so his father asked him, he said, What do you have to say about this? The boy looked back at him and he said, "Well, one thing for sure, Dad, you can be proud of me. You know I haven't been cheating." You see, there's always a half full, half empty. So often we get caught up in looking at the half empty. Oh, well, we can't do this because of this. Well, that's impossible. What if that falls on its face? You get surrounded by so many negative ways of looking at something. There's always going to be those that can tell you how it cannot be done. I'll tell you, this nation was not built on those type of people. This church is not going to be built on that type of attitude. It's going to have an ability to see what God sees. It's an awareness that God is doing something greater than is presently happening. I wrote this down. Having a vision is more than just looking on the bright side. It is looking on God's side. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in searching the Scriptures. It's asking, "Lord, how is it that You want us to bring You greater glory? How do You want us to throw the nets out just a little farther?" And it's not. And I'm telling you tonight that what we're going to share with you, it's not a vision of what Shane Lewis once, or what we can do to build up a bigger empire to make Somerville Baptist Church look greater. It's an image, it's a vision of what God can do through Somerville Baptist Church if we'll simply allow Him to do it. Now here's a big question. What if the vision that God gives is not the vision that we would have chosen? I will tell you tonight that there's some things that I'll talk to you about that when it first came to me, I was much like maybe some of you might be, and that is, man, that's kind of far-fetched. But the more that we have looked into it, the more that we have studied, the more we prayed about it, the Lord has been very clear in the direction that He's pushing. And I would hate to know that because I'm not comfortable with what God has chosen for us, that I simply said, I'm not willing to see it. He's called us to bloom where we're planted, to see what's not yet seen. It's a life of faith. A vision is the ability to see. It's an awareness that God's doing something. There's a second part of what vision is, having a vision for the future, and it's this. Vision is a faith to believe. It's an attitude. Stephen Goodyear, he gave a great illustration with this, and I'll read it to you. He says, both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. All the vulture sees is rotting meat, because that is all that the vulture is looking for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and with life. Each bird finds what it is looking for. And he ends, and so do we. Every church finds what it is looking for. Every individual finds what it's looking for. Every believer in Jesus Christ finds what he's looking for. If he's looking for what's ahead of him, he'll find what God has in store. But he's living off the past, living off past victories, living off past defeats, then that is what he'll find. There is no vision. There's only dreams of what once took place, of what God once did, of how he once worked. But I will tell you, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then my friend, whatever great works he has done in your past, he's also wanting to commit those same great works in your future, and perhaps even greater. Satan's greatest attack on the vision that God gives every one of us is our attitude. I've ran into this several times. Jeff Richards talks about this. He says, an attitude that says, nobody else cares, so why should I? Nobody else sees, so why should I? An attitude that goes farther with this, and some of you may be struggling with this, that says, nobody appreciates anything I do, so let's see what they do when I don't do it. I will tell you this. I will tell you what will take place. The work of Jesus Christ is not dependent on what you and I do or don't do. So let me tell you what's going to happen if you have that attitude. Well, they can do what they want to, but I'm not going to be a part of it. If that vision is of God, then I will tell you what will take place. God will bless those who follow his vision. It will go on. And you will have missed the opportunity in the limited number of days in which you and I live to be a part of something that only God could do. It's a vision of the faith to believe. It's the ability to see and awareness. It's the faith to believe. It's an attitude. Faith is the food that visions live on. Without faith, our vision is going to wither. It'll die on the vine. We must believe that God has something greater in store. Brings me to the third and final point. Vision is the ability to see. It's the faith to believe. And here's the last one. It is the courage to do. It's an action. We see it. It's an awareness that God is wanting to do something. It's an attitude of faith that is believing that he wants to do it through us. But then it finally comes to the places I talked about this morning. There's got to be an action that follows through. To say you have faith and no action is to admit that you have no faith at all. To admit that you love someone and yet there is no action is to admit that there really is no love there. So the question for you and I is, do we have the courage to follow the vision that God has given us? I'll tell you this. For me, this is the hardest part of it. The older I get, the harder it is for me to have the courage to follow through on the vision that God gives. If I can see it, if it all makes sense, then I'm right there with it. But then in the time that you spend between just you and God, God reveals some bigger things to you than what you're presently doing. And let's face it. Who wants to sit on their front porch in the rocking chair with their old buddies? Who wants to go down to Libby's or down to Jack's and sit with everybody for half the day? Talking about all the things that have taken place in our life. And the great elephant in the room, the thing that we can't say but would say, is that I only did those things that made sense. I only did those things that the flesh could accomplish in its own power. As our church, we only made decisions for things that only fit in the culture and the community around us. To think beyond what our culture would say, to think beyond what our community might think is acceptable or enough. Let's not get crazy about this thing. we were secure. We played it safe. We didn't fail, but we didn't have godly success either. I will tell you, that is not living for the believer in Christ that is existing. And that is not a life at all. He calls us to sue something that's beyond us. Paul Harvey years ago wrote this story. He gave a true story. He said, one summer morning as Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast, he gazed out the window. He saw a small girl being swept along in a rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that farther downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road and then emptied into a main culvert. He knew she'd die if she got to that place. Ray dashed out of the door and he raced along the ditch trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end. Within about 3 feet of the yawning culvert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a rock, protruding from one of the banks. He clung desperately, but the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. He said in his mind, if I can just hang on until help comes. He did better than that. By the time fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl all the way out of the ditch to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award was fitting, for this selfless person was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew. Ray Blankenship couldn't swim. There's a world dying and going to hell. Don't tell God what we can't do. Take advantage of the opportunities He puts in front of us. And say, Lord, give me the courage to do what I cannot do, so that You can do what only You can do. The courage to do. The courage of vision is to say, Lord, if that's You, then let me come walking to You on the water. Courage to say, as for me and my house, we're going to do it differently. We're going to serve the Lord. The courage to say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? The courage to say that the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us at the day of His coming. So tonight I'm asking you, as we share these things, I'm asking you not to look at it as why we can't, not to think of the difficulties it's going to present, but to anticipate, to dream what God can do through a church wholly committed to Him. To me, the most frightening role of being a pastor in this issue of fulfilling the vision that God gives us is that when you look at leaders in the Bible who were not obedient, they were afraid of failure, they were afraid of criticism, to the point that they did not fulfill the vision He gave. They, but even more so their followers, suffered the consequences greatly. And I cannot allow that to happen. George Barna says these words, and I close. Vision for ministry is a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through you to build His kingdom. May we have a vision for what God wants to do. Let's pray. Father, as we come now,